Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for another year, Lord. You were gracious to us all through last year. And you're gracious, Lord, to allow us to go into a brand new year. Lord, thank you for preserving this country. Thank you for the mercy, Lord, that you have extended to us. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would certainly want to take advantage of what you have extended. Lord, help us to be busy. Help us to look forward to opportunities to serve you. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would use this year in each of our hearts. Lord, we pray, dear God, please, that many, many folks would receive Christ this year through the ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We pray, Lord, that Christians would grow in the Lord and be strengthened. Lord, you'd help us as we disciple new converts, Lord. As we have our times of fellowship, make those times blessed. As we have our times of outreach, Lord, I pray that you would empower those times so that we could see the supernatural and the miraculous happen. So, Lord, we go forward in faith, dear God, into a brand new year. And Lord, we pray, dear Lord, please again, your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I want to preach tonight on the subject of experiencing the power of God. I want to say this before I go through the calendar. I'll mention again the message, but I am asking God, one of the main prayer requests that your pastor's praying going into 2022, and I felt like the Lord moved in my heart on this as he gave me the theme for this year and as we begin to work through the planning of this year. The prayer that God has stirred my heart to pray in 2022 is this: Lord, allow us to see the power of God. Allow us to see the supernatural working of God in everything that you've called us to do, in all the endeavors, Lord, that you're leading us to be a part of. Lord, we want to see you involved and you moving in everything that we do this year. And so that's been my prayer. You have been given a copy of our Blessed Hope Baptist Church calendar. And if you have not got one yet, I believe there's some copies still available in the back. And if there's not, we can certainly make some more. I'm not going to go through everything on the calendar, but I am going to point out just a handful of things that to draw your attention to and get you to pray over. You'll see scattered throughout the month's fellowship times. We have our men's prayer breakfast and ladies' fellowship night about every other month. On the other months, we have our after-service fellowships planned. And folks, listen to me. I think one of the things that you'll notice and study in the book of Acts is that the people of God on a regular basis got together for fellowship and got together to build a spirit of family amongst the church. And I would encourage us all, and let me just say this, in everything the church has planned, one of the things I guess I say almost every year is, if you'll look at the church calendar, and then you'll take your calendar and fill in the dates of all that's planned at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you can still look at your calendar after filling out all of that and say to yourself, you know what, we do not have a church that keeps us overly taxed, that doesn't allow us to have family time, that doesn't allow us to have vacation time, doesn't allow us to have a freedom to be able to live our lives. And because we don't overburden you with activities, I feel like that means what we do ask you to be a part of, every single person ought to choose to be a part of it if you are able to do it. And so let's just first of all say, when we look at the calendar, let's not go through and say, that sounds good, I'll go to that. I don't think I'm interested in that. Let's not pick, let's not choose. Let's just say, if it's for me or if it's for a member of my family, we're going to be there at that event. So there'll be the fellowship times. We're able to host at the end of this month on a youth rally. And you'd be praying for Brother Gordon, for our youth group, as they plan on putting on this youth rally. It's not just for us. It's for several churches that'll be visiting with us. This is something that Brother Clancy started several years ago and asked us to be a part of. And these youth rallies kind of travel from church to church, allow youth groups from different churches to get together, to have some fellowship, and to hear some good preaching. Wonderful decisions were made in our youth rallies last year. Several young people saved in our youth rallies last year. And so you be in prayer for Brother Evangelist Chris Dowsey as he's scheduled to come. Now, February's become such a sacred and I think important month for our church. You know, as we set an entire month aside for missions emphasis, you can see the folks that are scheduled to be with us during the month of February. And I would ask that you begin to pray for each of these missionaries as they come. We have three new missionaries that we do not support that'll be coming in. There's actually another one that has been scheduled. Most of you met Brother Parik the other day when he was here the other night for the service, and he's staying down at Shepherd's Bethel right now, going to Siberia. And so him and his wife are local. They're there for a while. And I said, why don't you come over and take a Wednesday night? So the second Wednesday night of February, we will have the missionaries to Siberia here. The rest of the ones, you can go down and look. Chris Thompson, which is a missionary to Ecuador, you'll get a chance to meet him for the first time. Missionary Thomas Hector from Guatemala. Going to Guatemala, you'll be able to meet the Hector family for the first time. And then we have some ministries that we're already supporting. Of course, Tommy Tillman for years, we supported him. He passed away. Mitch Tillman, his son, has taken up the mantle of that ministry, reaching into Mongolia with orphanages and hospitals, and then into Thailand, reaching into the leper colonies of Thailand, and of course, planting local New Testament churches. And you'll delight in meeting Mitch Tillman. Most of you probably have not met him. You'll get to meet him for the first time, and I think that you'll be pleased that we're continuing to support the ministry there. Missionary Tony Wood, we've already voted to support, but Tony Wood has not been here to meet you, and so I told him, pressure's on. If you don't do a good job, we can take it away just like we gave it. And so Brother Tony Wood, a good friend of mine, looking forward to you hearing about what God's doing in him and his wife's heart, extraordinary vision that God's given them to try to impact the Middle East for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then our good friend, Brother Ryan Nez and his family will be a part to close out our service at the end of it. Also notice this, we're not going to have a couples retreat this year. I tried to eliminate and kind of maybe scale down some of our spring activities simply because we're going to be putting in a lot of work and a lot of effort in our church plant. And so instead of having a multi-day couples retreat, we're going to go back to what we did for many years, and that's plan a Valentine banquet here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And this is for the married couples of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, February 15th on a Tuesday night from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the fellowship hall. And so that is kind of a change for what we normally do. And then looking into March, of course, we have planned in January, February, and March. Brother Gordon's made it available. We have copies in the back. We have one posted on the bulletin board. But the days that we'll be having work days down at the new church plant. And boy, this is exciting. I mean, we're talking about materials being delivered this week. We're talking about demolition beginning this weekend. Now, if you're terrible at construction, but you're really good at destruction, then this is the weekend that you want to be a part of the process down there. And some of us aren't good at building stuff, but boy, we can tear stuff up. And so you'd want to be a part of that. And not only then, of course, that, But as part of the process, we have to do the physical part of it. But you also see in the month of March there in red, if you pick up a church calendar, it'll say church plant Saturday visitation opportunities there in Jasper from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on March 12th, March 19th, March 26th, April 2nd, and April 9th. As many of us as that can show up on as many of those days, and we're certainly going to want to get out there and get the door hangers out and get the word out. And a lot of that, folks, is just going to be hanging flyers, just hanging door packets, not so much doing door-to-door, knock as far as knocking and engaging and visitation. Of course, if we have a chance to talk to people, we're going to talk to them. If we get a chance to witness somebody, we'll witness to them. But it's mostly just high energy, go to the doors, hang flyers, the door packets, and just get the word out that something's happening in Jasper. A new church is being planted. Now, even though we are scheduling this for our church, Brother James Young is informing all of the supporting churches and certainly all of the churches in southern Indiana that's close enough to drive over and help. Many churches have expressed interest in wanting to come to some of these visitation days to be able to be involved. And so I think that when you show up to these visitation opportunities, you'll find that it's not just Blessed Hope Baptist Church people that are there gathered and ready to go, but we're going to have a lot of sister churches involved in the process of this. And so that's exciting. I reprinted the calendar. So if you got the first one we passed out, there is one addition to it, and that is I forgot to put the Young Fundamentalist Conference that the young people be attended in March. That's March 2nd through 4th. And so I have put that on the calendar, and that's an addition. So if you'll add that to your calendar or pick up a new one if you don't have that and wanted to mention that. And then we're going to relaunch in March. Along with all the other things that's going on, we're going to relaunch Operation Occupation, and we'll take a Sunday night and do that. And so you be in prayer about that. Be in prayer as many of us are involved in helping folks finish up their sections here in the last couple months. And then, of course, we'll be reloading for a new year. Now, pray for our spring revival. This is a little bit of a sadness to my heart. We had a schedule, Josh Poole, to be here along with Brother Michael Poole. Brother Michael Poole is the father, Josh is the son, and I thought how neat it would be to have a father-son team come and preach a revival service for us. Well, since we scheduled this, Josh Poole's dad, Pastor Michael Poole from up in Highland, Indiana, has had a stroke, and I mean a very, very severe stroke. Outside, and let's just pray for this to happen, because I'm never taking God out of anything. But I will say this, outside of an unusual, miraculous healing, Brother Poole may never be able to stand in the pulpit again and preach a message. And so there's a sadness to my heart when I see that. We actually had him scheduled last year, and then because of the COVID situation that broke out in both of their churches just before our revival, we decided we'd cancel that and not do that. And so we rescheduled. Actually, I think that was in 2020. And then so we rescheduled it. But anyway, Wayne Mustick is a preacher that pastored for years and years in the St. Louis area. He now attends Brother J. Reed's church down in Georgia, moved down there. He has family down in that area and began to attend his church. And what a prince of a preacher. And when I met him last fall and I got to talking to him, we had several conversations after the services and the revival meeting there. By the end of the week, the Lord told me, you need to get that man to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so when Brother Poole was unable to participate, I called Brother Mustick, and he's going to come and be a part of that spring revival. And I think that you'll just enjoy him, fall in love with him. We have, I don't know, four, five, six men, I'm not sure how many, signed up to come to the Alaska Men's Retreat. And so I'm excited about that. You pray as we'll go up there and experience a time where we sequester ourselves off into a camp out in the wilderness and just have a bunch of men. They're anticipating about 300 men to be able to come to this thing. You pray for your preacher. I'll be preaching at it, but there'll be also other preachers there preaching, And I'm pleased and always honored for the opportunity to speak, but I will tell you this, I enjoy just as much going to something like this where I know I'm going to hear good preaching. And God did a work in my life last year at this, and the men that were able to work this out to go, I think that you're going to be blessed, and so you be in prayer for that. Of course, then, if you look into April, we have our spring program, 4-week spring program, 2 weeks in April and 2 weeks in May. We also have the ladies' retreat scheduled, and we're also going to coordinate that with the men's menu night. Now, I wasn't going to do this but once, but people have been clamoring and writing letters and begging and saying, oh, please, preacher, if there was a highlight event in 2021, it was when the men took over the menu and blessed us with that amazing gourmet food. So just because the people want it, that's the only reason I'm doing it, because the people want it. We're going to do a men's menu night. You don't look like anybody's believing me about any of this. I'm trying to sell it hard. And so anyway, we'll be doing that again. So you pray towards our spring program. And of course, we have our graduation, Mother's Day, Honor Day, the things that we have every year. And then in June, we'll have Vacation Bible School, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, which is always quite the event. And then we're planning also a youth college age Navajo missions trip, June 16th through 25th. Brother Ryan Nez will be with us in February. We're going to go out there and be with them and assist in the running of their VBS and doing some projects and some outreach and some visitation and have a great time. And so if you have questions about that, we'll be getting out an information sheet soon on that. Junior camp again this year. You know, I say every September when we have Harvest Day or October, September, why don't we do this more often? So I put another outdoor service and fellowship in July, and that'll be something we can do if the weather permits us to do it. Then, of course, school events and the kickoff of school in August. Fall revival, Dr. Sam Davison will be with us. And boy, what a preacher. And you pray for Brother Sam as he's preparing to come and always comes and always just is such a blessing. We'll be looking into September with our fall program. And we have a guest on September 11, Evangelist Dan Martin. Some other things that I'm kind of jumping over here. We go into our fall program, have our Harvest Sunday, our operation. Thank you. I'm going to say something about November. This November, I want to work hard, and I'm going to be meeting with those of you that are veterans as we get nearer to November, and I want all of you to help me out on this, but in the month of November, instead of just having a Veterans Appreciation Sunday here, I would love for us to identify during the month of November as many opportunities as we can find where we can go somewhere where there's a gathering of veterans. And you know, we invite them to come here so we can honor them, but I want this to be more of an outreach where we're going out to where they're at and to be able to kind of reignite and re-energize our Operation Thank a Vet ministry. And so during the entire month of November, we're going to be looking for these events. And a lot of these things are scheduled during that month, opportunities. And some are already planned, some are events that we can help create. And so I'm going to be meeting with those of you that are veterans, and I'm going to ask you to help me to kind of search and listen and watch. Others of you may know or hear of events in the fall, even if they're not in November, but in the fall, where we can maybe participate at a higher level and re-engage in this ministry. We've just about given out all of the last printing of the operation or of the Grace Will Lead Me Home booklet. And so you be praying about that, because very soon we're going to go ahead and order another rather large printing of Brother Ron Allen's book. And if you'd like to give money towards that, that's always a help and a blessing, because printing isn't cheap. I'll just tell you, it's not cheap. But that book has been extremely effective. And it's one thing to hand somebody a tract that's written for veterans, and most veterans are still appreciative of that and will take it. But there's a whole other level of appreciation that I've seen in our veterans when we present them a book that's a nice four-color cover, a gift, gift quality book, and tell them this is a gift from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And, of course, the plan of salvation plainly in that we've had many, many people saved as a result of reading that book. And so that's been an exciting thing to watch. And then our December is what we have scheduled here, most Decembers. And so another year at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Those are the highlight main events. What we don't have on the calendar, of course, is what we do every week faithfully. I think those are the most important things. And that's Sunday school and Sunday school teachers. Thank you for being faithful. And morning church, and by the way, junior church and the primary church workers and nursery workers, just keep being faithful. And Sunday night gathering together at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let's be faithful. Wednesday night Bible study and prayer, let's be faithful. Our scheduled visitation programs, let's get involved. Let's make this a part of our lives, and let's just be found faithful. The Sadducees came to Jesus, and this was kind of a sorry bunch. I'll be honest with you, folks. I don't think there's anything sadder than men who drip of religion, and yet they don't have a clue when it comes to what the Bible really says. And here we see in Christ's day, there were religious men who lived their entire lives, let me say this, mixed up doctrinally. Because of this, their ministries were ineffective and unremarkable, because if you don't have your doctrine right, your ministry is never going to be baptized with supernatural blessings. And so these were men, the Bible says in the beginning of this story, that say that there is no resurrection. I am thinking about that. You know, what a sad doctrine to decide to latch on to. You know, folks, it was Paul, through inspiration of Scripture, that says if we have hope only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. And so the idea of living your life, by the way, a lot of the mental health crisis that you keep hearing about in America, I mean, that's the buzzword everywhere. We have people in our sports, professional sports, that can't play games, canceling matches, calling in. Well, I'm just not in a good place with my mental health. And there seems to be this clamor to try to draw attention to the importance of mental health. Now, let me say this, folks. I know there's some real things out there, and I'm not going to go into all of that tonight. But a lot of the mental health crisis that the average American is facing is self-inflicted. And it's because simply we kicked God out of this public schools, and we kicked the Bible out of the public schools in the 1960s. And we basically said the Bible, for all of the history of the United States of America up to the early 60s, the Word of God and the principles of the Bible were integrated into our culture. And the Bible teaches a way of thinking that produces good mental health. And when those things were taken from our young people, not only were the Bible principles taken out of the schools, but in their place was infused something called secular humanism. And you talk about a depressing way to look at life. Okay, instead of talking about God the Creator and each and every one of us being a special and unique, one-of-a-kind masterpiece made by the very hands of God, all of a sudden people are standing before our young people and begin this in the 60s and 70s, and now, folks, we're 60 years later. And all of this entire generation, almost everyone that's alive, went through a public school system that taught them, you know what, there is no God. And God wasn't involved in any of that. And by the way, you're just an accident. I mean, you know what, you're here as a result of a series of mutations as an evolution process. And natural selection and helter-skelter happenstances and missing links that nobody still can find. But here you are, you're just an accident, okay? There's no divine purpose for your life because there's no divine. I mean, that's what they're being told. And so you're an accident, you're an animal. Oh, you might be the most evolved form of an animal that's on the planet, but you're still an animal, and you're an accident, and you're an animal. And by the way, after you die, there's absolutely nothing to look forward to because there's nothing after death. So you know what? Get up, do the best you can, then die, then go to dust. Now go have a good day. And that was but you know, if you take the resurrection out of this, if you take eternity out of this, come on, if this life is it, goodness sakes alive. But here's people that would go around and argue against the resurrection. And they, of course, then came up with this. Everybody's always trying to get this come up with a gotcha type of a story or a gotcha type of an illustration. And so they go up to Jesus, and I can imagine all the planning that went into this story that they're going to present that's going to absolutely confuse Jesus Christ to the point where he has to throw his hands up and say, gee, you're right, there's no resurrection. And so they come up with this story of seven brothers, and of course, the way they did things in the law and the way things were outlined in the Old Testament, if a man married a woman and then that man died before they were able to have a child, then that woman would go to one of the brothers and then to raise up seed for the name of their deceased brother. Now, here's the story. There's a woman that marries the first brother and then he dies, and then she marries the second and he dies, and marries the third and he dies, and I don't know, about the fifth or sixth brother, wouldn't you say, uh-uh, no, I don't think so. I ain't marrying that woman. She's a black widow, man. She's poisoning us off, man. If all of us die, she's going to inherit all of Dad's stuff. You know, I don't know what's going on, but something's going on there. And I don't think I'd have signed up for that. And then so they come up with this crazy story. And then last of all, the woman died. I guess she got mixed up, put the poison in her food, and then... And now she's off to herself. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? And for they all had her. Now, Jesus says something, folks. And of course, he's going to give an explanation. He is going to answer their question and explain some things about the resurrection and the way that we will exist in heaven that's different than the way we exist here on earth. But the thing I want to draw to your attention to in verse 29 is a statement that Jesus made. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err. Now, why did they err? He gives them two reasons that they are in error when it comes to their belief in the resurrection. He said this, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Now, think about this. In this story, Jesus explained to them their problem. Here's the pronouncement, you do err. Why did they err? Because they didn't know the scriptures and they didn't know the power of God. Watch this. Ignorance of these two things will cause and has caused many men to err. Now, I made a decision early in my ministry training, and I really felt like I came to this decision in the presence of the Lord as I sought his presence and I was seeking his filling and I was seeking to follow Christ. But I decided some things. I decided this. I did not want to live my life in error. And I did not want to live my life never experiencing the supernatural workings of God. So there's two things I set as goals. Two things I asked the Lord to help me pursue and two things I asked the Lord to help me achieve. And that's this. I want to know the scriptures. And Lord, I want to know the power of God. I want to know the scriptures and I want to know the power of God. I'm not going to preach a long message tonight. I'm aware of the time and I won't keep you very long at all, but I would ask that you'd latch on and give me your attention for the next few minutes. You see, folks, there's people that are going to live their entire lives and never know the scripture. And because they don't know the scripture, I believe this one comes before the other one on purpose. Because they don't know the scripture, they will never experience the supernatural working of God in their life. They'll never experience it. They'll never witness it. They'll never know it. And I don't want to live that way. And so I don't want to end up in a place in my life where I'm in error. And the way to get there is to stay ignorant of the scripture and to never experience the power of God. I began to take this little phrase, the power of God, and I thought to myself, you know, it's one thing. Brother Hiles used to train us young preachers. He would tell us, you need to learn to pray for power. You need to learn to pray for the power of God upon your life. You need to pray that God would allow you to experience his power and that his power could flow through you as you attempt to serve him. And I thought to myself, if you're going to understand the power of God and if you're going to experience the power of God, then what did Jesus say first of all? Go to the scriptures. And so I'm going to not give you all of the Bible study. You can do it yourself. And I'd encourage you, if you want to, say, preacher, you said something earlier and something moved in my heart. You said something about God moving you to pray that we would begin to see the supernatural moving of God, to be able to see and have a front row seat to see the power of God displayed here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church through the ministries. Preacher, I don't want to just sit on the sidelines and watch it. I want to experience the power of God in my life. God working in my life in a supernatural way. Well, you know what? If we want to understand the power of God, you know what? We've got study materials and we've got concordances. And you know what? When God puts the phrase, the power of God, in the Bible, He puts it there for a reason, and it ought to be something we pay attention to. But I thought to myself this early on in my ministry, if I'm going to see the power of God, then I need to go to the Scriptures and understand the power of God, what it is, and how I can experience it. I found out a few things. Number one, the power of God can be seen through the sharing of the gospel. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Watch this. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So you say, preacher, you seem to have a hobby horse. You seem like you've had it for all of these years. You've been here for 26, 27 years, and you can't get off one main thing, and that's this. We're supposed to take the Scriptures, take the gospel story to the lost. We're supposed to be a soul-winning church. We're supposed to be a church that finds as many different ways and in different ministries as we can to get the gospel to the lost. You see, here's the thing. If I want to experience and witness the power of God, then I want to be around the things that calls down God's power. And the thing that we read here is this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Now, every single one of you that are saved, can I say this? You have experienced the power of God the day that you got saved. You experienced the power of God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when God saved you, that was a miraculous thing, a supernatural thing, something that cannot be done by any human energy. This has to be the power of God that comes down and born somebody into the family of God. And so you experienced it the day you got saved when you accepted the gospel. But you know what? If you'll keep your life connected to the gospel, be involved in the sharing of the gospel, witnessing to people, passing out tracts, just keep doing the things we've done for all of these years at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the more I am connected to sharing the gospel, the better chance I have of experiencing the power of God in my life. To share the gospel, that's available to each and every one of us. To preach the gospel, that's an amazing thing. Brother Young, thank you for being faithful out in Children's Church. You know, that's out of sight, out of mind. But here's a man that every single week goes out there and prepares messages, and you know what? He will see it. I remember my dad saying this from the pulpit, Brother John Reiser, for years and years. Brother John, you preached in junior church. You conducted church, junior church. And my dad would say, he said, when we get to the end of the ministry, Brother John Reiser will see more people saved through his preaching than I will see saved through my preaching on Sunday mornings at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now think about that statement, okay? And it's true, because you know what? The people that are most tender to the gospel are children, are young people. And it's not that my dad didn't see a lot of people get saved right here in the auditorium at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But I guarantee you, there's more people saved, young people saved in children's ministries through the years at our church than is saved in the auditorium here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, that's pretty awesome. Brother, to stand up there, come on, I want something to burn in somebody's heart. To stand up there and to have prepared a message and know that it comes from God, and to begin to take such an incredible story. The gospel story is the most incredible story. Then a man can stand up in front of a group of people and share and to preach the gospel and watch God do the supernatural work that only He can do with the gospel, and watch conviction come upon a person's life, and watch them respond to the preaching of the gospel, and watch them stand up, walk down an aisle, receive Christ as their Savior. Folks, listen to me. That is a display of the power of God. I got to be a part of watching God do something supernatural, something powerful, and it's connected with the gospel. And so think about that. You pray, folks, listen to me. I feel like the devil set some barriers up and some things that I'm still not sure if I've come up with the hows and the whys. It breaks my heart that we were in 7 nursing homes 2 years ago. And now, you know what? We are in 1 nursing home. And the restrictions that Brother Joe has to go through to go in there just to help minister to Mrs. Townsley and a handful of people. I'll be quite honest with you, folks. It's past ridiculous. You know what? You put a mask on and then stand up before aged people that have a hard time hearing anyway. Many of them are reliant on watching your mouth in order to be able to pick up what you're saying. And then be told you can't lead singing. And you've got to wear a mask. And some of our nursing homes, we had a nursing home call the other day asking for us to come. And I said, what are the requirements? Well, they would have to be vaccinated and they have to wear 2 masks. Now, folks, listen to me. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but this is the satanic barriers that are being put up between the Church of Jesus Christ and our ability to get in and preach to people that honestly, desperately need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what all the answers are, folks. Trust me, I've leaned on one side and back on the other side. You know, what do we do? What can we do? What can we in good conscience not do and do? But all I know is this, the devil is trying to shut down the church's ability to reach outside of the church and stand before people with an open Bible in these critical places. We're facing a lot of the same things. We have some open doors when it comes to the prison ministries. But again, the bureaucrats have put up so many barriers between us and our ability to be able to do these things. Just pray that we have wisdom. Just pray that we know what to do going forward. But this is so sad and it's heartbreaking because the world has never needed somebody to stand up and preach the gospel like they need right now. So you pray for us as we go forward and pray and just ask God to help us to find favor and help us to find a way to be able to continue to do the things that he wants us to do. So the power of God can be seen through the sharing of the gospel. The power of God can be experienced by daring to engage in spiritual warfare. For sake of time, I'll read you the story. There was a man of the company who cried out to Jesus and he said, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only son. And lo, a spirit taketh him and he suddenly crieth out and it teareth him that he foameth again and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out. Watch this. And they could not. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Watch this. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. So as I study the power of God, I see that it's connected strongly to the gospel. Also, the power of God can be experienced by us by daring to engage in spiritual warfare. You know what? The disciples, they could not win the battle against this devil that had possessed this man. It was because the Bible says, Jesus said this, that they were faithless and they were a perverse generation. And I was under conviction when I read that. I thought to myself, are we not seeing the miracles that we could see because of our faithlessness? Can I just go on and say this? As American Christians, even, let's just check our hearts right now, folks. Have we really secretly, quietly become so perverse that we can no longer summon up the power of God to win in these spiritual battles and spiritual warfare? If there's ever a time we need to strengthen our faith, it's now. If there's ever a time we need to make sure that we're clean vessels before God, it's now in America. But you know what? When Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, the Bible says the child was healed and he delivered him again to his father. And the people were amazed at what? The mighty power of God. Now, folks, listen to me. If you want to see the power of God, then go preach the gospel, share the gospel, do it on a regular basis. And from time to time, you're going to get to watch the supernatural happen. If you want to see the power of God, you got to be brave enough to be willing to engage in spiritual warfare. Now, we spent 2021 preaching on spiritual warfare, teaching and preaching on the armor of God. If you are here, and if you listen carefully, listen to me, you are now better equipped to engage in spiritual warfare. But if you're not careful, we can turn the page, go to the next theme, and you could have made no significant changes in your Christian life even though you now have the knowledge and you know how to do it, let's not just leave behind what we just spent an entire year emphasizing. I feel like right now, based on what we covered last year, Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to be the best equipped army in all of the nation, ready to march forth into a new year, knowing how to put on the armor of God, understanding the devil in a way we've never understood him, understanding spiritual warfare, understanding his demonic army, understanding the power that's available to us and the power that is in us. Folks, listen to me. If you didn't pay much attention, why don't you just go back? It's on our website. And why don't you resurrect those messages and listen to them with a new heart and a new mind? Because listen to me, ill-equipped, faithless, perverse Christians with one or two pieces of the armor of God is not going to beat the level of demonic powers that are now sweeping across the United States of America. Hey, you know what? We got to be willing to go to war, and we best be equipped to go to war. And if we do that and we're willing to pay the price, then we can see the power of God and we can win these battles in engaging in spiritual warfare. You know, folks, listen to me. There's people that get saved and there's people, you know, that we see get saved. And I'm not saying every one of them, we've already said this, is a display of the power of God. But there's some people that it takes a miracle. I mean, it takes the supernatural moving. It takes spiritual warfare to pull some people out of the fire. They are so controlled. They are so possessed. They are so oppressed. They have so many doors to satanic influences in their life. And folks, listen to me. We've seen it in the past. We've seen God not just win the child, but win the hardened sinner. I was thinking about Ron Allen as I was writing this out. And I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like what I watched and what I witnessed when Ron Allen began to start coming to the church. And you've heard the story. I'm not going into it a lot. But you know, that man came for several months before he got saved. I watched that man sit in the service, and during the invitation, I'd be sitting up here, and I watched that man weep tears but not come. I watched him come to an altar, and somebody kneeled down with the Bible and talked to him about the Lord, and then finally he listened, shake his head no, and go back. But I also remember the night that, you know what, the service was over, and the church, for the most part, had gone home, and we were pretty much in an empty auditorium, and I was in the back helping with something, and I walked out. And if I remember right, Brother Jack, it was you and Ron Allen and Tom Dafford, Brother Allen in the middle, Ron Allen at that time, not a Christian, but an open Bible, and two men of God on either side praying for him and reading the scripture to him and encouraging him to Christ. And you know what, folks? What happened that night? I mean this. What was going on in that moment, whether we understand it or not, was spiritual warfare on a level that I think most of us can't even understand. But you know, that day, that night, God won a victory. Amen. And Brother Jack, you were able to be engaged in spiritual warfare and watch the very power of God save somebody that, I mean, folks, nobody thought would ever get saved. I mean, when Ron Allen got saved, and I go around and visit in Clay City, or I'd run into people that know him, they would literally stop me and say, "What in the world? I heard Ron Allen's going to your church. What in the world happened to that man?" Well, Jesus happened to that man. Now listen, folks, I'm telling you that if we're going to see victories to that level, then we have to understand that we have to be faithful, and we have to build our faith, and we have to have strong faith, and we have to be clean. And we can't be those disciples that just keep walking around as if we're ineffective and powerless, and we can't do it. And you know what? Jesus was able to step in and make up for their shortcomings. And by the way, Jesus still steps in and makes up for our shortcomings. But let's prepare ourselves so that we can be engaged and see supernatural victories. And then the last thing, and this is our theme verse, and I'll just read it and say a few words, be done. But folks, if you want to be connected strongly to the power of God, then be involved in sharing the gospel. Get engaged in spiritual warfare. And then the power of God can be experienced by the preaching of the cross. And that's what we read in verse number 18. This is our theme verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, watch this, it is the power of God. So the preaching of the cross, and sometimes that preaching is somebody one-on-one talking to somebody about Calvary. So pleased that we were able to start the night with the Lord's Supper. I think God orchestrated that postponement for a week. Because you know what we do when we observe the Lord's Supper? Collectively as a church, you know what we do? We go back to a point, a time, a moment in history. We go to a specific geographical location on this earth in our hearts and minds. We go in our hearts and in our minds to Golgotha Hill. It's called Calvary. There were three crosses on that hill, folks. And listen, what happened on that hill and what happened on that center cross absolutely changed the history of the world. You know what? The power of God was displayed that day. And you know what? There's something about the cross, folks. Come on. There's still something about the cross, the power of the cross and what happened on that cross that is still changing lives forever. My life was forever transformed. Watch this. Not as a lost person. Yes, as a lost person, but also as a saved person. When I went to Highland Park Baptist Church and I listened to Ron Comfort preach a message on Jesus Christ and the crucifixion and him dying on the cross. And God took the power of the preaching of the cross and literally broke my heart, changed my life, changed the direction of my life. And I mean this. I know there was a lot of things that built up to it. And there were some things that strengthened it afterwards. But if I was to go back and say, preacher, where did you go from being a carnal Christian to having a heart to want to be a spiritual Christian? Where did you go from being non-effective and unconcerned about the loss to all of a sudden burdened by a loss? Where did that journey begin? It began on Golgotha's hill. It began as I stood and watched Jesus die on the cross. It began as a man preached on the cross. You pray for your preacher. I'm going to preach a lot of Sunday morning messages on the subject of the cross this year. We're going to go there, not just once, not just twice, not just three times. We're going to go through there several times. We're going to chase it through the scriptures. We're going to show you so many different aspects of it. We're going to look at what happened through the eyes of many different people that were there that day. But folks, listen to me. What are you doing, preacher? I'm going to up the preaching on the cross. You know why? Because I want to see the power of God. I want to see the power of God. We're going to introduce some new Sunday school material, and I'm going to have Sunday school teachers spend quite a bit of time in spring and in the summertime and probably on into the fall teaching lessons to every single class, and they're going to center around the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I want the power of God to come into that Sunday school room. Folks, don't get me wrong. You can preach anywhere, any part of the Bible that you preach. Any part of the Bible that you preach, God can move in on it. He promises he can move in on it. But I just feel like for this year, we're going to settle it in on this. You say, preacher, I read in 1 Corinthians, I heard you read, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect for the preaching of the cross. Doesn't sound like Paul preached on much else but Jesus and much else but the gospel and much else but the cross. Now, folks, listen to me. That's true. He's writing back to a church that he started. When he first went to Corinth, all he did was preach the basics of Jesus Christ and salvation and the truth surrounding the cross. And he needed to focus in on that. Then people will take this out of context and say, well, you know, that's what we need to be preaching. That's what we need to preach. You shouldn't be preaching on this. You just preach on Jesus and the cross, Jesus and the cross. I think it's interesting that they get that out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But I mentioned to you there's a 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And there's a 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And there's a 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Don't tell me Paul only preached to the Corinth people about the cross. He also preached about carnality. He also preached about against division. He also preached against fornication and immorality. He had to clean up a lot of things. Listen, don't give me that. One man texted me one day, and I know who he was, and I know, you know, he's a preacher, but I know him, and I know his life, and I know that he is a critic of people that preach on holiness and separation. And he texted me, and he said, when are we going to stop fooling around and just focus on preaching on Jesus? That was the text he sent me. And so I text him John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I said, after that. When you preach out of Genesis, you are preaching Jesus. When you preach out of Exodus, you are preaching. It took me a long time to type all this, by the way, because I've got 66 verses I had to type out. The longest text I ever texted in my life. So don't give me that garbage. Listen, what, no matter what you preach, if you're preaching the Bible, come on, Deuteronomy 22:5 is Jesus. All right, let's just settle some things and stop trying to wiggle out of some things, okay? But let me say this. There is something about the preaching of the cross, because in what happened on Calvary and in that moment, folks, all of the rest of the Bible would not matter at all if it wasn't for that moment on Calvary and what Jesus Christ did. So there's nothing wrong. I'm going to say this. There's nothing wrong with any of us spiritually that can't be fixed at the cross. And I really mean that. I really believe that. When a preacher preaches the cross, then he has the potential of unleashing the power of God amongst God's people. When a church hears the preaching of the cross, they have an opportunity to both experience the power of God and witness the power of God. And so that's going to be the focus for this year. I'm excited about it. You know, I pray this is the year Christ comes back. But if he does not, or if he chooses to, I mean, that's up to him. He only knows. But you know what? When Jesus comes, if he were to come this year, I think he'd be pleased that Blessed Oak Baptist Church went out pointing people to the cross. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the gathering of God's people and all we've experienced tonight. Lord, bless, Lord, us as we go into a new year. Help us, dear God, as we try to do those things that we ought to do week by week, day by day. Lord, we're still going to have to fight the flesh, the sin, and the devil. Those things aren't going to go away. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'd get so hungry to see the power of God, so hungry to see the supernatural. Lord, that all that the flesh offers, it just means nothing compared to our heart's desire to see the supernatural. Lord, all that the world would offer us, that we would look at it and say, it's not worth it. Not if it's going to stand between me and seeing the supernatural power of God. All that the world, the flesh, and the devil, all that he tempts us with, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'd look upon his temptations with disdain. And we would say, no, 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 I want to see the supernatural working of God. Help us to be faithful, not faithless. Help us to be clean, dear God, not perverse. Help us to march into a new year, Lord, being the type of people that the God of heaven can look down and say, they're focusing on the right things. They're in good standing, in good stead. And they are prime candidates for me to work amongst them in a supernatural way. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name.